Our Bible reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Sowing generously. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
We're in this series that we've been doing for the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks now. This is number 5 in the series, looking at the Lord's Prayer. And this week we're up to our fifth sermon, Give Us Each Day Our Daily Bread. And this comes really on the back very much of our thinking last week about kingdom, what it means for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done. And I don't know if you noticed in there that the proclamation of the gospel was as they did good works amongst the poor. One of the verses there, that the proclamation of the gospel is, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. As many of you know, Claire, my wife and I, we absolutely love the Alpha Course. We've been involved in the Alpha Course now since the beginning of 1992, and we've been working on it together ever since then. At that time, she was the youth worker, and I was the curate at an Anglican church in South London, and a member of Holy Trinity Brompton came to join us and said, we've been doing this thing. A guy called Nicky Gumbel, the curate there, has written this course, and we wonder if you'd be interested in doing it here in Dulwich. And so we've been involved with it ever since then. And since we led our first course, we've done about 35 courses over the years that we've been personally involved in. And then we've been really thrilled the last few years how other folk from the church have picked up the Alpha course and been running with it. And at the moment, for your prayers, there is a superb Alpha course going on. Anne Hackett there and Carl, who was playing the brass instruments this morning, and Gaynor, his wife, have been running it, and a number of folk from the church have been bringing along their non-Christian friends, their non-church-going friends. 16 folk gathering every week in a really excellent course. And so please do be praying for that. But over that nearly 25 years that we've been doing the Alpha course, we've got some great stories from Alpha. Great stories of people giving their life to Jesus, of becoming Christians, of being baptized and being added to the church. Great stories of people being filled with the Holy Spirit, touched by God. Great stories of healing and of lives turned around and changed. But as well as the great stories about wonderful things that have gone on, there's all the stories of the funny things and the bizarre things that have happened during those courses. Like the lady who, when we were talking about John chapter 3, you must be born again, said, well, I've been born again. That's fantastic. When did that happen? She said, well, it happened the first time in 1700, and then it happened again in about 1820. I've been born again lots of times. And it turned out she was a big believer in reincarnation and believed that she'd been born again a number of times in a number of different ways and didn't quite get what it was we were trying to say about spiritual new birth. That was okay, though, because, of course, Nicodemus didn't either. And he was a teacher of the law, and he didn't get it. But it was just a wonderful moment of, I've been born again lots of times. Or there was the guy that we had here in Penarth who believed that Jesus was an alien and that he was resurrected by alien technology, that the ascension was the return to the mothership, and that Moses had managed to part the Red Sea and defeat the Egyptians by having electromagnets inside the Ark of the Covenant. I've got to tell you, that made for a really interesting course every week, because we just wait for him to say, well, what I believe is. But that's fine. That's okay. The point of the Alpha course is that people can come and ask questions and challenge and explore and also tell us what they think and they believe. You know, we don't earn the right to share what we believe until we're willing to listen to what other people believe as well. And then we lay out what we believe to be the truth before them, and we trust that God's Spirit will plow that and bring seed, bring fruit from it in people's lives. One of the most difficult courses we ran, though, involved a guest who was, and I've got this written down to make sure I get it right, she was a celiac, lactose intolerant vegan. And every week, for 12 weeks, Claire had to find a meal for 15 people which included something which a celiac, which is you can't eat any wheat or bread or things like that, lactose, so you can't eat any dairy, vegan, so you can't eat any meat or fish, something that they could eat. No eat, no meat, no bread, no cheese, no milk, no pasta, no ordinary pasta, no fish, anything really. And every week Claire would say, what am I going to do this week? Now you all think that my wife is really kind and nice and tolerant and she never raises her voice. You should have been there with us for those 10 weeks. Then you'd have seen what I have to put up with every week. I know, before she even gets up the stairs, one of you will have run and told tales on me. Because that's what always happens when I talk about her. Before she even gets up the stairs, I'm being yelled at. But I remember we came to the session on prayer, where we were talking about the Lord's Prayer with that particular course, Our Father who art in heaven. And at the end of going through the Lord's Prayer, this particular lady said, you know, I find that prayer really, really unhelpful. Jesus says, when you pray, pray thus, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you know the prayer. She says, but I find it really unhelpful. I didn't have a good experience of Father. And I can't eat bread. If I eat those kind of foods, I just get so sick. What is there in this prayer for me? What is it that Jesus is trying to say to me? As we continue this series in the Lord's Prayer, I need to say something, which is that that woman missed a point, which that Jesus wasn't necessarily speaking about asking for literal bread. That's the way we've translated it from the Greek into our Bibles. But he wasn't necessarily speaking about literal bread. Rather, he was praying about all of our daily needs, of which bread is a symbol. It's a type. In the ancient world, in the Middle East, bread was a staple, and so it was used to describe all of our daily needs. But for us, it might be other things. When Jesus said, when you pray, pray thus, here comes the rain again, he wasn't giving us a liturgical prayer, which we can say in about 20 seconds. That's not what he was doing. What he was doing is he was giving us categories, headings, the sorts of areas that we ought to be praying in. Many of you will remember Dr. Larry Lee from Rockwall in Texas, who through the late 80s and early 90s toured the world teaching on the Lord's Prayer. He wrote this book called Could You Not Tarry for 1 Hour? And in the book and in his talks, he used to say, if you pray the Lord's Prayer properly and pray it, and he said it with a Texas accent, real slow. If you pray the Lord's Prayer real slow, it'll take you at least 1 hour. And if you put 1 hour aside to pray it, you'll find that after a while it's not enough, that you need more time. Because what Jesus was not giving us a literal prayer, but a list of headings of the things we ought to be praying for. And this is the outline he gave. When we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," we're establishing paternity. We're establishing who we are in Christ. Who is our Father? What right do we have to come before God? Well, we come as his children to a loving Father. And just as our own children come and crawl up onto our lap and ask for things, so we can come to our Father and say, "Dad, Father, I want to bring some stuff to you in prayer." So initially we pray, "Our Father, who are we in Christ?" It's about paternity. Then we pray, "Hallowed is your name. Holy is your name. Great is your name." We go into praise and worship. Having established the right with which we enter the presence of God, we then praise him for who he is, what he's done, for just who he is to us as our Father. "Holy is your name." It's about coming into a time of praise and worship. Then we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." That's about getting our priorities right in life. What's important? It's not what I want, it's not what the world wants, it's what God wants and what his kingdom demands. We're praying that your kingdom come and your kingdom priorities be in our life. Then we go on and we pray, "Give us today our daily bread." We're asking for God's provision in every area of our life, in all of our needs, as his kingdom comes. Remember what we were talking about last week? The kingdom of God is a generous place. It's a place where there's enough food, where there's enough for everybody. And the prayer is, "Lord, as your kingdom comes and your will is done, would you bring that kingdom lifestyle into my life and provide what I need?" Then we go on, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those against us." Penitence. Repentance of the way we've hurt other people. And forgiveness where they've hurt us. The outpouring of penitence. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." It's about protection. Understanding that in this kingdom lifestyle, we are in a war. Remember last week, George Halas, the quote, that we're kingdoms are in conflict. There's a cosmic war going on, and we need protection from the evil one. "Deliver us from the evil one" would be a better translation. And then back to finish where we should all times. Praise and worship, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. You are great forever and ever. Amen. Paternity, praise, priority, provision, penitence, protection and praise. And I've got to tell you, I use this as an outline sometimes, and an hour isn't enough. If you just take those headings, it only gives you 10 minutes, 8 minutes in each heading. And you need more time than that to pray properly. It's a wonderful outline for prayer. So, "Give us today our daily bread" becomes a category of prayer, not just a specific prayer. Bread to the Jews, as I've already said, was a symbol of life, of provision, of all that they needed. The Hebrew word for bread is lechem. There it is. And it doesn't just literally mean lechem. It means a wider range of things. We'll look in a minute. It comes from another word, lacham, which means to eat or to consume or to swallow up. Lacham is also sometimes translated as to make war or to fight. And you'll know places in the Psalms and in some of the prophets where it talks about our enemies devour us. They make war on us and they swallow us up. Well, that's what lacham is. And from that comes the word lechem, which means something to devour, something to eat. And sometimes we can translate it as bread, but sometimes it gets translated as meat or fruit or vegetables or just food. Give us today whatever food it is we're going to need to live in this kingdom as kingdom people. Give us what we need to devour, to eat, in order to survive. The first use of lechem, of the word bread, is in Genesis chapter 3, in the story of the fall, which we looked at last week, when God says to Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat all the days of your life. The ground will produce thorns and thistles, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your lechem, your food, your bread, your provisions, whatever it is. By the sweat of your brow, lechem will come to you until you return to the ground. For the Jews, of course, bread comes with other significant meanings. It's a powerful symbol in and of itself. The unleavened bread of the Passover, the matzah, a reminder of their salvation that came to them in the Exodus as they left Egypt and headed for the Promised Land. For us Christians, that Passover meal becomes, over time, the communion, where the bread broken reminds us of our Passover from sin into new life, our Exodus from the old life into the new one in Christ. Give us today our lechem, this wonderful symbol of the freedom that we enjoy as kingdom people. Bread's also, of course, for the Jews a reminder of manna, God's feeding of his people with supernatural bread in the desert. When Jesus was teaching on that, he reminded them, Moses gave you bread in the desert, but I am bread. I am the bread of life. What God gave your forefathers in the desert, he's now given you in person in me. And he describes himself as the bread of life. I am the bread of life, and he who eats of me will never be hungry again. So bread, when Jesus spoke that line of the prayer and the disciples were saying to him, Lord, how shall we pray? And he was saying, when you pray, pray under these headings. They heard all of that. Oh, bread, yes, all that we need to survive, not just food, but clothes and shelter and all of those things, and salvation and freedom and Passover and life in its fullness. They would have had all of those images come crashing in when he said, give us today our daily bread. Bread is a type, a symbol for everything we need. Food, forgiveness, salvation, everything. For those of us who don't grow our own wheat and literally grind our own bread, it means provision of money in order to go and be able to buy those things. It means the roof over our head. It means the things that we need, that we go out to work to get money to pay for. Lord, we have need. We have financial needs. We've got bills. We need to put food on the table. We need your help, Lord. And it's a reminder, isn't it, this prayer, that ultimately everything comes from God. Everything comes from God. Our very next breath comes from God. So certainly the money that we earn, the food that we eat, the houses we live in, they're a provision of God. And we thank God for all his good gifts. Jesus said that our Father in heaven, when we ask for bread, was only going to give us something good. If your Father on earth who is evil knows how to do good things, how much more will your Father in heaven who is perfect give you all that you need? Father, give us our bread. Give us what we need for today. So here's a thought, and I'm going to move to the end with this, but here's a thought. If everything we have, the bread on our plates, the clothes on our back, the roof over our head, the money in our bank account, the shoes on our feet, if it all ultimately actually comes from God, if we believe in that grace and that provision, then what right have we got to cling hold to it and cling tight to it and store it up and build up reserves? How can we hold on to it selfishly? In that reading we had today, Paul reminds us in verse 10, now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. What's he saying? He's saying, okay, the sower goes out and he plants the seed and he does the work and he makes the toil and someone makes the bread. But actually, it all comes from God. The seed comes from God in the first place. He created it. When we put the seed into the ground, the growth comes from God. He enables it. It all comes from that God. And that God will enable blessing in our life. Why? So that we can have a harvest of righteousness. Why does God bless us? To make us more righteous. What's the context he's talking about? He's talking about working amongst the poor. Read 2 Corinthians 9. He's talking about blessing the poor. Why does God bless us? To give us what we need so that we can bless others. When we pray, give us today our daily bread, we're saying, God, give me what I need, but give me enough to be generous as well. Paul's reminding the reader that God provides the seed, he provides the growth, he provides the bread, he provides everything. It all comes from God. And he's asking a question, so what are you going to do with what God has given you? Eugene Peterson, in the Message translation of the Bible, writes that verse differently. He writes these words, "This most generous God, who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals, is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something that you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God in every way, so that you can be generous in every way." Lord, give me today my daily bread in the context of let your kingdom come and your will be done. Let righteousness be established. Let the world be put back the way you created it, the way you intended it. And if you do that, give me bread so I can be part of that kingdom lifestyle, so I can be part of what you're doing. When you ask for daily bread, and God is generous, Paul says, be generous back. Sow as much as you can back into the kingdom. The more seed, he says, that you put into the kingdom, the more God is able to grow. He says, think of what God gives you as seeds. Plant it back into the kingdom and watch a bigger harvest come. Look at what God has given you. Choose what to give away and then give it cheerfully, because God likes that. Because God is blessing you. He's putting into your life bread. Sow it back and do it cheerfully. Listen, we've got financial needs in this church. You know that. You work the church meetings. You've seen the accounts. We have big bills every year. But I don't want a penny from anyone that's not given cheerfully. If you're not sure God has told you to give it, don't give it. Because we only want good seed that's going to produce good fruit that comes out of a generous and cheerful heart. Verse 9, they've freely scattered their gift to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. So let me finish with this, and I hope you think I've done really well. Let me finish with this. Last week, I ended the sermon with a challenge. The challenge was this: when you pray, your kingdom come and your will be done, are you ready for the warfare of the kingdom? Are you ready for the kingdom lifestyle, for the challenges of what it means to be a people who stand there and say, God, we realize that the world you created is broken, but where I stand now and where I have influence, let your kingdom come and your will be done, and let it be restored. Where there's hunger, I'm going to feed the hungry. Where there's sickness, I'm going to heal the sick. Where there's separation and broken relationship, I'm going to bring peace. Where people don't know you anymore, I'm going to introduce folk to God through Jesus. Where the kingdom comes, let me be that manifestation of the kingdom as we bring the rule and reign of God. And the challenge was, when you pray, your kingdom come, are you ready for the kingdom warfare and the fight and the sacrifice that comes with that? Here's another challenge. When you pray, give us today our daily bread. Are you willing to continue that in generosity, in giving generously, in passing on the blessing you've received from others? A couple of stories. About 3 years ago, someone came up to me at the end of a service in the evening and gave me an envelope. And there was £100 in it in £10 notes. And they said, I've had a windfall this week. And I was asking God what to do with it. He said, give it to you. That you were going to meet someone this week. And you'd need this money. So I said, well, thank you very much. I didn't even open the envelope. I didn't know what was in it at the time. Folded it up, put it in my pocket. When I got home, had a look, saw what was in it. Next day was in a hairdresser's, I won't say which one, here in Penarth, was having my hair cut. And as she was cutting my hair, the hairdresser was crying. I said, what's the problem? She said, oh, my mum's in hospital, she's sick, she's really ill, and we're worried about her. But this morning I came out to get in the car to come to work, and I was going to go from work straight over to the hospital to sit with her later on today. And I put the key in, as I turned the key, it broke. And I've called the AA, and it's £100 to get it fixed. And I don't have £100, and I'm not going to be able to get it. And I went, oh, that's easy. call the AA now. Gave £100. She couldn't believe it. Do you know, every time I get my hair cut from now on, she asks me about Jesus. She asked me to pray for her. Because, of course, I said, well, can we pray for your mum as well? And we prayed there, me sat in the chair, and her looking embarrassed behind with a pair of scissors. Every time I go now, she asks me about church. She asks me about Jesus. She mentions the generosity of God. No, they'll say, it's not my money. Somebody gave me this for you. God told somebody yesterday that you would need this money, and I've had it in my pocket ever since, waiting to meet you. At some point, we're going to be able to bring her into the kingdom. Introduce her to Jesus in person. Friday, we were in Cardiff City Centre, and Claire and I had gone in to get some stuff in John Lewis, and as we were coming out, Claire said, should we have a meal? So we went into Wagamama and had a meal. And as we came out from there, the big issue seller, who stands just there, said, do you want a big issue? And he said, sorry, I haven't got any money. Sorry. And he went, do you just have some loose change? I'm really cold, and I want a cup of coffee. And I don't... And we said, we paid by card, we've got about 15 pence on us. I don't suppose that'd be good. And he went, well, you know, if I can get 15 pence off you and 15 pence off someone else, I'm going to... So we literally emptied our purses out. There was nothing in there, pennies. And as we walked away, and he walked off down the road, Claire went, oh, hang on. And she brought out of her pocket an envelope sealed. And she ripped it open, and inside was £10. We walked over, and we said, oh, mate, you can probably get a meal as well with this. Do you want it? And he wouldn't take it. He said, I only want a cup of coffee. Can you get it broken down? Can you give me some change? He was really embarrassed. And we said, listen, it was given to us to give to someone else. We're Christians. And someone gave us this money to feed someone who was homeless. Are you homeless? He said, yes. And I said, well, God wants you to have it. And he took it, crying, as he walked away. Why does God give to us? So we can be generous. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you able to live in that kingdom lifestyle? May now the blessing of God Almighty, the generous God, the giver of all things, bless you with all that you need, that you may be generous in the work of the kingdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say together the words of the grace as we finish. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.